Hello, this is Rob Gellis from Rob Around the County.
And today I'm interviewing Dick Tracy.
Former mayor of Hudson, resident of Greenport, and it's so nice of you to invite me to your home today for this interview. Dick, maybe you could tell my audience a little bit about you, and we'll go from there.
Yes, thank you, Rob. Yeah, I'm a longtime resident of Hudson, born and raised here. I was born and raised down on Lower Warren Street, and my parents were both blue collar workers. My mother was a head administrator at the hospital. My father worked the cement plants, worked some of the factories and businesses, and then eventually retired from the sheriff's department. I went to school here, Hudson High School. Graduated from Hudson High. Went on from there to go to school in Texas, down at Corpus Christi, Texas A&M, and played some football down there and eventually graduated from there. And with all things being, I was planning to stay in the Texas area. I kind of had some jobs lined up and was kind of comfortable with that area, but my mother took sick, so I had to come back, and shortly after I got back, she passed away, and my father did as well, so I kind of, by that circumstance, ended up being back in Hudson, which I'm glad for that, because I had a great experience growing up in Hudson. Hudson was a great place, still is, of course, to grow up in, and I was glad to come back and glad to be part of the community, and it's a nice small community, and fortunately enough, I was able to come back and find some work, which carried me through a number of years with the city of Hudson. Prior to that, I was doing some teaching and working as at the Blue Anchor Youth Center, which was an after-school drop-in center, which was over on North 7th Street, and which has since closed. But with that, the youth department job came to be, and fortunately, I was applied, and I was able to get the position, and passed the necessary test, and I was able to make a career out of the youth department, which was an interesting one, and one that I certainly embraced.
It looks like, I mean, I looked at your resume, there's all different certifications and organizations. You mentioned that you also was a part of the Sons of Italy. How were you affiliated with that?
Yeah, I you know, at the time, especially through my work, I joined a lot of organizations, which always had its advantages because a lot of them supported a lot of our activities and all. So I was always happy to be part of that. The Elks Club, I was in JC member for a while, and then a member of Sons and Daughters of Italy. It's part of community. It was always part of something that supports a community, and certainly that I was able to gain some, you know, gain some ground with in helping with activities and programs of the sort.
Because I've been to the Sons of Italy Lodge, interviewed Philip Abitabel, who's very active in it. So I went in there and interviewed actually at the hall there.
Okay.
And so I know a bit about that from his angle because of their family.
Yes.
From the Italian community and the Italian church.
Actually, Phil was one of my, during Mayor Yesko's term, Phil was actually one of our commissioners, which was an appointed position by the mayor and non-salaried. And Phil was, for quite a few years, Phil was our commissioner at the youth department.
He
put a lot of time and effort in and was always very, very helpful and supportive of you know, what we were doing and of our youth in the community. So Phil mentioning Phil, then he was certainly part of our youth movement.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a lot of time with the youth. I mean, it seems like that's what you enjoy, the working with young people.
I think when I started teaching, and teaching kind of caught my eye, but I was looking to get into recreation work. You know, it's a little bit, a little bit more open. You're out in the community and about, and I guess you're in a better place with the kids rather than being in a classroom. So once I got involved with the youth department, I knew that was going to be my niche for whatever length of time I could make it. And I kept, there was times when I was looking maybe to do something else, and but there was always unfinished projects, you know, or something coming up. So I always stayed focused on that, and my major focus was, of course, Oakdale Beach and in that area, the park over there, which I thought was a gem, and that was something that I gave my undivided attention to in my years, because it was a special place, and it always was for me, and I was like 24/7 on that particular project there at Oakdale. There's always something to do or something going on, and we had a lot of popular programs and a lot of activity over there, so I wanted to see that continue, and we were able to do that, and that was always my focus. I can remember one time when Pete Seeger was in town, and he liked Rogerson's Hardware, and he was in town with the Clearwater, and he came to the beach house, and he liked it so much that he wanted to stay there. So Pete Seeger was one of our tenants once at the Hudson Beach House when he was in town. And when he came back, he would ask if he could stay at the beach house. So the place really became quite an attraction, to say the least, not only to our community, but, of course, to people from the outside, including Pete Seeger. So that was always unique when we could look forward to that kind of a thing, you know.
that's interesting. I guess what I'd be interested is, what made you decide to run for mayor of Hudson?
Yeah, I had retired, a couple of years retired. I was, at the time, I was driving a school bus, sports bus for Don Klein at the time. And they just, apparently, the mayor, I think it was Rick, was deciding to pull up stakes. And so there was some openings there, and somebody approached me, and I thought, well, it could be an interesting job. I knew a lot of the political lay of the land, having worked in it for 32 years, so I was kind of familiar with the ins and outs and the workings of city government. So I thought, well, you know, maybe this is worthy of a try. And next thing you know, we're off and running, and next thing you know, you sit there and you go, oh my gosh, I got elected. You know, it's like, okay, now I got to go back to work, I guess. So it was interesting. I did the one term. I was a little later on in life, and I was really looking to retire pretty much and just do what I wanted to do, which was, pretty much drive a sports bus and to kind of get away from the hustle and the bustle. So I just packed it in after the one term, but I guess I happened to be in the right place or the right time, or just I looked like a possible electable candidate, and I kind of got pressed into service, I guess you could say.
Are there things that you could still see today that you initiated as mayor? Anything that maybe you is there now? Or
yeah, there are some things, and certainly and the youth department was one of my my faves, and we got some new vehicles for them, and did some cosmetic work over at the beach house and at the pier and the bleachers over there along the side, and we kind of enhanced some of the things there. The basketball courts had just come in prior to my arrival, and so we were certainly focused on that to see what we could do there. So that was, of course, always on my radar because, being in there for so long as it was. And other things, in the city, of course, my main concerns were just keep things moving, keep things going, and we got some funding for a park down at the end of Mill Street and a recreation area down there, which we got in place. And a lot of the term I spent there was staffing. I had Kevin Walsh, who was our treasurer, and God rest his soul, he was a good man, good treasurer, passed away on us, and Charlie Butterworth, who had been Charlie Butterworth was there before I got there, in the Public Works Department, and he retired, and there was a lot of time spent replacing staff, trying to find the right replacements, and our assessor retired, youth director retired. I think when I ended up, the sole department head that was that's appointed or sorts was a police chief. So it was a busy time in as far as having to replace staffing in there. So that kind of took up a good chunk of it all. But we just kept things and kept things going and tried to. To make do with what we had, and fortunately things were thriving. Businesses were in town now. The storefronts were filled. I can remember back in the 80s and sorts. I used to joke with people, and I still, even in late as it was in my tenure, people, some of the old timers were still questioning. The new people, so to say, coming into Hudson and taking over their city, and I guess I would remind them in the day, in the 80s, you could probably on a weekend you could probably roll a bowling ball up. I always used to use this as a way to kind of address it from 7th Street Park down, and probably wouldn't make Promenade Hill without much ado. And today, you can't even find a parking space on the weekend on Warren Street. So, I mean, it was great to see this growth coming and storefronts staying filled. You'd see an empty storefront, and the next month or two, you'd have something else in there. So, I mean, there was always a continuing growth going on there, and that was a good thing in trying to keep that going too, and trying to. Trying to make the new people, I say the new people that had come in part of our government, they were really struggling with trying to be part of the government or being part of the city, being part of what's going on. So we used to work trying to get them involved in whatever way we could, putting them on the boards or something or other or whatever it be. So. It was just so such a relief to see what came to Hudson and what happened to Hudson and what could have happened to Hudson when you think about it, which could have been a disaster for the city, considering what we were going through back in the 80s and late 70s, 80s and 90s. Things started to turn around a little bit, but it was nice to see. And be part of that,
The hospital, I know, when I moved here, didn't have the professional medical center. That wasn't even there. There was no parking garage.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it happened during your tenure.
Yes, some of that did. Yes, it was just starting to unfold there with that, which was great. And and the other things were housing, and it was. Nice. We were just assisting Crosswinds in getting their project underway and finished and completed. Actually, it's funny. I was doing and finished the project during my tenure, and after leaving office, I ended up getting hired by Crosswinds to work in their maintenance and all, because I guess it was kind of maybe a thank you too for what some assistance we gave them during their development. But so I had worked there for a while following that too. But housing was always an issue, and it was people. It was hard to make people understand a bit, because you weren't running people out of Hudson, but it was people that were buying up homes and places and renovating them, and of course they got to get a return on their investment, and they spent a lot more money to buy the places than probably would have years ago, and of course they got to raise the rents, so that would we were seeing a turnover. People were not, it wasn't affordable, and housing was always a critical issue, and it still is. Affordable housing is and probably will be for a while yet, until we come to a development of sort, new development of sorts or whatever. But that was always a critical issue, and we tried to stay focused on it as much as we could.
I meant there's projects that were there when you came already. Front Street, that had been built already.
Yes.
And I'm thinking Crosswinds, that's next to the...
That's the intermediate school.
When I moved here, it was just a field.
It was a field.
It was just a field.
It was a house, an old abandoned house on the backside and a lot. And that's, again, that was a nice fit for affordable housing. It was based on workforce housing, and people were given priority based on they had to have a job, had to be working, had to have certain income guidelines. So, I mean, that was something that we could probably use more of, or would like to see more of anyway, and down the road anyway.
I'm wondering if is there possibilities at all for Greenport to do anything? There's areas of fields. Could there be developments?
I would think so. I would guess, I'm assuming that there's probably maybe some projects being looked at, I would hope, but there is some available spacing, that could fit in. I know our folks at Crosswinds, they did a project up in Valencia, which was strictly for senior housing. And so they are still, always looking about for, mm-hmm. for projects. So that's encouraging, and maybe the next step would be here. But I know they've done one in Valencia for senior. They, of course, have the one at Crosswinds. So, maybe along the way here, we'll see something.
Yeah. You've lived, of course, in Hudson, and you also seen changes in Greenport. It would be interesting, like when you were in back in the day, and when you were a young child, did your folks stick to Warren Street for shopping? Is that where they all that?
It was. Yeah. I mean, Hudson had a unique blend of stores. The main street did. I mean, of course, that being you could go Warren Street, get shoes, you could get groceries, you could get a suit, you could get a dress, you could get just about whatever your needs were. You could find it on Warren Street. I mean, it was sporting goods, Pressman's, and those sorts of stores, Richmond's, Maskins, Christman Maskins, which men's suits and stuff. So, I mean, there was a nice blend. I mean, and then all of a sudden, the mom-and-pop stores, and they were all local residents run by. They weren't these big chains, that came in. These were all local people living and operating a business. And it was always said, I remember Greenport itself, because I lived over, we moved up eventually off of Warren Street and lived over here on the boulevards. And I can remember this whole area being farms. This was Healy Boulevard was Healy's Farms, and it was a huge farm and fields. And over in the backside, where the Greenport development is now too, was all fields, all farm fields. And all the way up almost Jocelyn Boulevard were just tons of fields that were farmed, corn, hay, and all. But then when the developments came, and then of course the shopping plazas opened up, and then you got the James Ways and all the stores started coming in, and then the fast food places, and so you just started to see things and kind of trickle out to Greenport more, of course transportation was an issue, and then all of a sudden the mom and pop stores just started, either due to that development or due to family businesses, they got old and nobody there was left to pick up the business. So I think it was either or, But eventually, you know, the mom and pop stores just started folding up one at a time, a few at a time. And then, like I said, the last thing left is what, Rogerson's, I guess, which is another one of Pete Seeger's favorite places. They're still there, and I guess probably due to the fact that they've got some old antiquish and artifacts that people are still looking for to fix up their homes with, so they've survived, I guess. But Hudson was a nice place. There was a lot of business around. There was industry. I know my father initially worked at the cement plants. I worked at the cement plants because of the money, the Lone Star, the Atlas. You know, you had big businesses. You had Lorbrook, L&B, you had McGuire's, you had the Foster Refrigerator, you had the Match Factory, you had Mephisto Tool. I mean, you go on and on. It was Canada Dry had a plant, Coke had a plant. And, I mean, you know, there was abundance of work available, and certainly which meant money and kept the stores in business, it was an interesting place to grow up in. I mean, it was thriving. You know, things were thriving, and they're thriving in a different way today. But I mean, they were thriving then based on big business.
But the difference is today, the thrivingness on Warren Street are weekenders,
yeah.
And New Yorkers.
Right.
There's no longer a people that live all around,
right.
Year-round.
Yes, it's true, yes.
Because those businesses gone. You don't have, the furniture factories, the cement plants, or even, unfortunately, nothing like high-tech, which would be great. I mean, if you don't necessarily need cement plants, but there are all kinds of things that could be possible. I don't know. It may be just where people tend to go, where these businesses go. Quite a few go up to Albany.
Yeah.
Research.
Yeah.
It would be great to have research and development here.
Yeah. Oh, that would be a nice niche. But, yeah. But like you say, yeah, it's more of a weekend type of environment, you know, sorts.
It's like a cultural... Hudson is a cultural resort for people now.
Yeah, and then it was it was every day, you know, it was everyday business as usual. You know, you worked. I came back from, I mean, the money was so good at places like the cement plants, and they used to hire summer help. I mean, I'd come back from Texas to go to work. It'd be worth my while to come and work there make a nice, one of the higher paying, of course, jobs you could find for summer work, and I'd come back from the summers to go to work there at the Atlas cement plant at the time. I think the Lone Star had since closed, and you know the quarries they operated. I mean it was a lot of business. It was a whole different environment around at the time. And it certainly is. Yeah, well, times have changed.
There are mom-and-pop businesses. These corner groceries and convenience stores are now with the new immigrants.
Yeah, yeah.
They sort of replaced the earlier immigrants.
Yeah, I think so, people. Yeah. Everything's become so accessible here. I mean, especially to New York and all and south with trains. I mean, we're on the water. We got... Thruway, the parkway, there's all kinds of ways to connect here. So it certainly that has helped too, as far as being whether it would be a weekend or whatever thing. But we're pretty accessible, you know, and we're near the mountains, which always is a catch too, being across from the Catskills.
I think what's unique, and I think a lot of people enjoy it, is that you go up and down Warren Street and see buildings that were there over 100 years ago. And instead of tearing them down, like where I came from, they tore a lot of things down and put up new stuff. It was, in a way, it was good that it was passed over instead of having it all torn down and put up things.
Know, thank God, you know, there was groups there and folks there and some insight to, you know, let's not tear it down, right? Let's fix it up. I mean, some of the buildings that I've never really noticed before, and now that they've been, you know, renovated and worked over, it's incredible to see some of the architecture, the facades of the buildings have come to life. I've recognized more of that than ever. I was like, wow, I never knew that building, you know, stood out like that. And it's nice that the a few buildings I wish could have been saved, but everything else, thank God, has been mostly saved. The only one I could think of what I'd like to have seen stayed was the old General Worth Hotel down at Warren Street, which we had talked about recently with some folks, and that was a grand old facility, but time took its toll on it, and it came down. But I wish that something like that could have been saved too. But there's enough yet that's been restored and saved, and that's a good thing. You know, it's Hudson's kind of come alive, kind of sort of thing with it all too. You know, and people still coming and investing. So I guess it, you know, there's a good future here for Hudson, thank God.
Yeah, it's very, this has been a great interview. I mean, you've touched about your personal career and also Hudson and the area.
It's a special place, yeah. I'm glad I came back, unfortunately, under circumstances I wasn't contemplating, but I'm glad I grew up here. It was a great place to grow up in, and I came back to live here. It's a great place to live in, and it's a nice community, and people are always, you know, you always got somebody to lean on. There's always somebody got your back, or there's always somebody that you can go to and get something done, which is nice about a small community. I stay connected with the city as much. I'm still over at the youth department. I'm their summer medical coordinator. I've been in EMS now for 46 years, so I stay certified, and I do the camp medical coordinators thing. So I still stay connected with the youth department, which is fun, and I still stay connected with the city in general. But it's been a great place to grow up in, and it certainly is. I wouldn't have wanted anything else, I don't believe, yeah.
Well, thank you so much today for this great interview, and of course it could go on for other segments. You know, we could do a part two sometime.
That would be special. I certainly got enough we could go on to carry on with for a part two.
But thank you so much, Dick, for your interview.
Thank you so very much, too.